Greetings in the name of Jesus again this morning. It's your fault. You started it. Leanne told me good morning when I came in here. No, is that right? I think it was you. I'm not going to blame you. So anyhow, it is good to be together. And I know some of you here, and I've listened to Brother Todd quite a few times and appreciated his messages. And I thank you for that and appreciated that very much. So greetings from Faith Mennonite Church in Hillsdale, and it's good to be here. Thank you for taking Kim and Daryl in, and they were orphans. Well, maybe not orphans, but thank you for that, and we do appreciate learning to know the church here more. Yes, I had to think of elections a little bit, too. I know that's on our minds a lot, and the only verse, I'm not going to preach on elections tonight, that I want to share, and that's out of 1 Timothy. You don't have to turn there. Actually, I may have just lost it because I took my page out. But anyhow, let me try it. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, is that right? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Is that right? You guys need to check me out on that. So we don't have to fear. God is already there, and we do know that, and we're reminded of that tonight. I want to continue some thoughts this evening on the body. Leanne mentioned the body, and we are the body, he said. And I'd like to start this evening by looking at the end result in Revelation. And I want to turn to that, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. And John there, he was getting a tour, and I believe it was an angel. I didn't even look, and I believe it was an angel that told him to write. Now, he did that several times, or the angel did, to John, and I think that signifies something very important. When John was told to write, and he did, in fact. Let's read Revelation 19, starting at verse 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I just want to mention there that marriage supper. Now, we recognize that who he's talking about is the bride of Christ. And in verse 7, it talks about the marriage of the Lamb. Now, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. And his wife hath made herself ready. Thinking about the bride, another verse in Ephesians 5:27. I have that down here on paper. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, the picture there is this bride. And I don't know how everyone feels tonight here, if you feel holy and without blemish, as it is pictured here, that marriage supper of the Lamb, what a great picture, and what a great time. In fact, that angel, I believe, told John, write this down. Blessed are they which are invited and which are there. And what a beautiful thing, and as we think about the bride of Christ, and I have a little object lesson here tonight so we don't all get bored. And anyhow, it's just a little one. But in thinking about church life, and I don't really know the church here. I know the church where I come from better, obviously. And without spot or wrinkle, how do we do that? How do we do that? And what a challenge it is. I would first say, without forgiveness and the blood of Christ, it has a lot of spot and wrinkle in sometimes. But, how do we think? Let's think tonight a little bit on that spotless bride, that beautiful marriage that we're invited to as his body. I feel a little bit like Nicodemus when he was talking to Jesus in John 3 that night. He says, how can this, you know, just unbelievable. How can us earthly people come into that kind of a picture? And we want to. We want to strive for that. But how easy is it? Well, Jesus started the church. He founded the church. And if we looked at Matthew 16, verses 16 to 18, he asked Peter that well-known question, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And Christ told him, he says, upon this rock will I build my church. And in fact, nothing's going to stop it. And he had a picture of that marriage supper of the church. And he knew that this was going to happen. And so Jesus guaranteed it. And so how about the people in his body, in the church? You know, they're not perfect. We're not perfect. And think of those disciples that he started out with. Quite a few of them were fishermen, which were maybe a little crude, maybe a little, sometimes they were asking and saying who was going to be the greatest. They wanted position. And so Matthew was a tax collector, publican, maybe not very well liked for a while there. And so the disciples even weren't perfect. We know that. And you have to think, Jesus, we had communion. We had communion last Sunday night. But one of the things that Jesus said there in his prayer around that time, I believe in John, and he said that all that you have given me, I have not lost one except Judas. And so even though the disciples with the imperfections were safe in him, how can that be? How can us as humans fall into this spotless bride? And so we could look at different things here tonight. Luke 10, and I'm going to turn to that. It's an interesting thing that happened there. And Luke chapter 10, in just two verses, 49 and 50, and I want to kind of get to how we a lot of times feel. So Luke chapter 10, I'm sorry. Yeah, Luke 10, 49. And I'm just going to turn to that. I didn't know if I would, but I think I will here. Luke 10, verses 49 and 50. And so we see Jesus here. John comes up to Jesus. Is there a Luke 10, 49 and 50? Wow. Okay. Let me tell you what happens there. And it's not in Luke 10, 49 and 50. I'm sorry about that. I wrote a wrong reference down. John comes to Jesus and he says, we've seen this guy casting out devils in your name. And John says, we forbade him. Now, why would John do that? And he's telling Jesus this. And I think John's thinking that he's going to get some brownie points for this. And one of the reasons he gave there is he said he didn't follow us. He wasn't with us. He was doing it kind of on his own. Now, I don't know. I don't want to put too much into that. But I can just imagine he didn't maybe do it the way they did it. And maybe he didn't look the way they did. And he was kind of out here doing this on his own. Now, he was doing it in the name of Christ, because it says it, he was. But John forbade him. And he kind of, don't do that. And Jesus said this. He said, let him alone, or let him do it. And I have to paraphrase here, because I don't have the scripture in front of me. But he says, if he's not against us, he's with us. Leave him alone. Even though he may not have been doing everything exactly like we were. And John thought he had stopped something here. But so how do we people, how do we as we act and communicate and spread the word in the body, how can we do that without maybe not always looking the same? Being the same. Now, tonight I don't excuse sin, and we don't want to excuse sin, but people are different, and Jesus said, forbid him not, for He that is not against us is for us. We have a tendency to think that if everybody would think like I do, then we could have such a great church. And you know, that's, I don't know if that's possible. And so how can we get along sometimes? And here again, I don't know any, we want to think about the body here, and how do we get along? If everybody think like me or look like me or act like me, then we could have such a smooth running church. Like-minded? Yes, we need to be like-minded. Okay. As we think of Scripture, I'm thinking of the places in Scripture where it talks about our spiritual gifts, because in that we realize that there's differences of gifts, and they operate differently, and I don't want to read them all. We know Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and it tells us that we have different gifts, and in somewhat, it would say that we are different. We can be different, but we need to operate under the same Spirit and the same Lord. And so I'm going to turn to just one of them here, 1 Corinthians 12, and just read a couple verses where it brings that out, 1 Corinthians 12, and 4, 5, and 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And I think we could take from that there are various different kinds, and maybe we work. How about in Romans 12, it mentions that you might have a prophet, the gift of prophecy, and then there'll be another person that would have the gift of mercy. And how do those two react together? See, one might be ready to forgive a brother a lot sooner than the prophet might. And so how do we operate under these different gifts? And it's not impossible. The Scripture, Jesus wouldn't have something that would be impossible for us to do. And so, and if we went in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it mentions there, the body is one, yet hath many members. And, you know, the foot can be quite different than an ear, and the hand than an eye, nose than a knee. A lot of differences there. And that Scripture would bring that out. One of my questions is tonight, do you see yourself as part of the body? That's an important question we ask. Are you a ear, hand, foot, nose? Are you part of that body? And if you are, what a great thing. But let's not be an ear that's not hearing or an eye that is not seeing. And so the Lord would have his body to function properly. Well, I have a kind of a practical illustration now. Some things you can follow through and some things aren't good to follow through, okay? So you may be thinking of things after I start my object lesson that don't really fit. But there are a couple things that I think help us to understand possibly the body. So I don't know which side. I'm just going to put this here. I brought something that we use a lot nowadays. You ever think I brought a battery? And you ever think of how many batteries we use nowadays? And, you know, we think of electric as we use a lot, different things. But batteries are pretty much right up there. Hearing aids, cars, you ain't going very far if you have a dead battery. I had a truck, my pickup truck, yesterday, going down the road, and my serpentine belt busted. Well, that killed my power steering, and it killed the alternator and everything else. But not luckily, the Lord had it. I was only a half mile from home, and so I could just drive home and get parts. And I had an idler. In fact, I brought it tonight. I mean, it helped me out here in my illustration. But batteries, and amazing. You ever think about a battery? You don't want to see that it was from Rural King, I guess. Okay, so I have a few things here, but so a battery has, this is obvious, two posts. And if you've ever had to jump a car, you want to know what post is which post. Okay, the positive and the negative, right? And as I think of that battery, there's really two different worlds in that battery. Now, I guess none of the mullets are here. Do they still have a battery shop? I was a little worried about being wrong, you know? And so I always figure a positive post is almost opposite of a negative post. Now, I don't know. That may be not right, but it is pretty opposite in my book. So we have a positive and a negative post. Now, that battery can produce good results. It can start a car. It can do a lot of good things. And that's the way batteries are, made to do. You know, I think the church is made up of different people. Now, I'm not saying tonight that a positive person is good and a negative person is not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm thinking is this battery takes both to operate. And if one side is not working right, then it's not going to work good at all. And so how about us and in the church, and how does this work in how can we be pure and spotless if in some ways we're different? I guess I'll say this. I was kind of told maybe not to say it because I had preached some of this at our church. And I had said that the positive post was the jumpy people at church, and the negative were the grumpy people at church. Now, you're going to have to, that's really not very good terms, but the jumpy and the grumpy, but it does help you to remember that there are different people of us in church. Now, let's just think of what might we consider a positive person in church. And here again, neither one of these is wrong, okay? They both make this battery work. A positive person might be a person that likes new ideas. They might actually like them all the time. Always want to be doing something new. They might be the pioneers, the inventors, and we like those people. And they might like to try new things, new foods, hot foods, smartphones. I'm not sure if I'm one of those persons who gets onto the phone business and the electronics like some. They like technology. Maybe they can't stay at one place too long. They like to get it done. They like all this new stuff. They might be a positive person who might we consider. They might, so we might have some of those people. And here again, I believe we're all mixes of positive and negative generally. But what about a negative post? And here again, that's not a real good term, but let's think about that. A negative person in the body might want to stay in their comfort zone. We've always done it this way. We want to continue to do it this way. Traditional. We don't care for the new stuff that much. You ever find this to be true? And so how do we in this body work? And how do we work together? And so if the church would only have one post, it wouldn't work very good. Either positive or negative. The negative people are kind of grounded, aren't they? They're kind of grounded. Ephesians 4:14. Henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Those grounded people we need, they can give us stability. They can help us on that. So the church needs a balance. Well, as we think of what might be in a church, us as people, how do we work? How can we become? How can we be that spotless bride? And one of the goals is the focus. What do we focus on? I have, as I think of focus, I brought jumper cables. Just, well, if my car don't start when I go out there, I can probably get it started without having to ask you, okay? No. So I got some jumper cables here that are going to help me out. So I put them on, red on the positive, for those who don't know that. Now, this is just to illustrate here the church. We have two posts and the focus. We want to talk about the focus. And so in a battery, the focus, if you have it in your car, should be to start the car, right? But let's just say we start looking at each other. So these guys are going to look at each other. And, you know, if we focus on each other sometimes too much, maybe my battery's dead already. But things can start sparking like that. I did that at church, and we had a poor lady just about jump right out of the bench. Now, she didn't know it would spark. Now, we had one spark just the other day when we were hooking one up, but that was because we hooked it up wrong a little bit. So anyhow, if we focus on each other, sparks can fly, right? And things can happen that shouldn't happen. So some of that comes down to focus. And we need to know that as a body, we need to focus. We need to focus on the goal of spreading the word. Now, I'm not excusing all kinds of things in saying that. But I do believe that there's times that we focus on each other maybe a little too hard. We examine each other, and we maybe shouldn't be doing that. Galatians 5:15, interesting verse Paul has there. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. We can bite and devour each other and consume each other. And what a sad verse that is. Now, in closing, the key, and I don't know, what would be the key to a spotless bride, to making a spotless bride? Now, sometimes you wonder, the way we get along here on this earth, how are we ever going to do it in heaven, you know? And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about just one individual body. We can think of the whole worldwide church. You know, we prayed for the persecuted Christians this morning at church, and there are many, many, many in China, Pakistan, Uganda, wherever, that are persecuted, and I'm just trying to think of some of the numbers coming to unbelievable. And so anyhow, how many brothers and sisters are worldwide? And what a beautiful time, Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Looking forward to that. So how can we do it? Well, in this battery, there's really two different worlds in there in a way. And there is something that makes it safe. Makes it safe. And I don't know. I had looked it up, and I didn't look it up just before I came. But negative and positive, and there's insulation in there to keep it apart a little bit. Now, I'm not saying to all be separate here, but that insulation is going to indicate something that we need to make it work. Now, on these jumper cables, they didn't just have a copper wire, two copper wires, but they put something around the wire, and that's insulation, right? So in a Christian's life, in church life, what might would be the insulation that would help us when we see our brothers and sisters to get along? And I want to say tonight that the scripture talks about a love, a godly love. And in fact, I believe that love is the insulation. And if the battery wouldn't have no insulation or plates that go in between the cells, that battery would probably blown up. And if those jumper cables didn't have insulation around those wires, that we wouldn't have been able to do what we did without having a real situation here. So for the body of Christ, I believe love is the insulation. And if we would look at those three passages that have the lists of the gifts, the spiritual gifts. Each one of them, somewhere right there before or after, talks about love and how we should have love. In fact, think of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 is the gifts, and it talks about the body and how that we all are one body, and yet we do different things, and we're different things. And then what's in 1 Corinthians 13? Well, that's the love chapter. That's the talks about charity. And it says that you can have faith, hope, or charity, but the greatest is charity. And as we think of the gifts, I think there's a reason why that charity is mentioned right there. And it talks a lot about that. In Romans 12, the gifts are mentioned. And in verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." And so we see that in Romans, it tells us love. Love is a key when we're dealing with the church and the members and the gifts. And in Ephesians 4, verse 2, so Ephesians 4 is where we see the list of gifts also. And it says in verse 2, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." And then in verse 32 of that same chapter, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." And so every time we see the gifts, the spiritual gifts, we're admonished to have love. And I believe if we don't have that insulation of love, that we might focus on each other and spark at times. And so let's not do that. How did John see that? That spotless bride, that beautiful picture, clothed in fine white linen, it says there, ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so actually, I almost forgot here, I have what a battery can do. So a battery can do a lot of different things. Now we'll see if this will work. Got it wrapped up here. This, by the way, is my idler that froze up that burnt my serpentine belt in two. So I thought I'd show it a lesson, I'd bring it to church. And you need a little church. Okay, so, and we'll just simply, hopefully, this thing will do what it needs to do here. There we go. We got a light. Hopefully it's... So that light tonight will represent a battery doing what it should do, even though there is a negative and a positive post. And even though we have differences in the body, that when we focus on the right thing, when we do the right thing, when we have love, it can be a beautiful, it can produce beautiful things, great results. You know, God has designed the church so that it won't fail, and He, in fact, guarantees it. And so with His help, with His grace, with His mercy, love, we can operate like we should. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word today, and Lord, it speaks to our hearts, and Lord, we do desire to be at that supper, that marriage supper of the Lamb, which You have said blessed are those who are going to be there, who are invited. And Lord, we know that Your body, as Your body, we are invited. So bless us all as we walk here on this earth, as we are part of the body, as we function, that we can, in fact, be obedient to Your word, and we can have that charity, we can have that focus of edifying, of just admonishing, and all those different things that You have told us that Your body would have. So bless us as we continue throughout the evening, and keep us safe. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.